This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, my name is Sarah, and welcome back to another episode of Talking Fast. Alongside me, just like every single week, is Manager Jacob. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm managing, Sarah.
You're managing? I feel like everyone's managing today. So we're recording this the weekend after the clocks have changed.
Yes.
And all day, every meeting I was on, every vibe I got from everyone, every vibe check was struggle. Everyone was tired, and I know it's only an hour, but I'm feeling it.
Especially because also we're recording this and the Oscars were last night.
Did you go to an Oscars party?
No, I just watched it home. I was actually alone, but it was fine because I was in bed trying to stay awake to watch the end. It ended late, and also on the time change day, it's tough to catch up if you're doing anything late at night on a Sunday.
It was a lot, but did you have any snacks, drinks? What were you eating or drinking while watching the Oscars? It might not have anything to do with that.
Okay, well, Sarah, I wasn't during the Oscars, but what I'm eating or drinking this week, I'm on a little bit of a tear because I saw a TikTok about how to make at-home Big Mac sauce, like McDonald's Big Mac sauce.
Isn't it just like ketchup? Isn't like all the things combined?
You would think. However, it's relish. It's not. There's no ketchup. Actually.
Oh, it's relish. No, that's why I don't like it.
Are you a burger fan?
Yeah.
I'm a big burger fan.
I like a smash burger every once in a while.
At-home smash burgers with a little Big Mac sauce on there.
Listen,
it's not the most healthy dinner to be making yourself all the time at home. But
go for a 10K round, then you're fine.
Well, okay. This is what the other thing I was going to say is that now that I'm back in training mode, running again, I feel like I just need the calves.
You do. You need the protein. You need it all.
Load up on a little double at-home Big Mac. What about you? What have you been eating or drinking this week?
So I was just in LA after the time of this recording, and I went to I did a little Vanderpump Rules bar hop situation, which was so much fun. And the one question I got the most when I went to Sir, which stands for Sexy Unique Restaurant. That's hilarious.
I thought it was going to be like a Big Sir.
No, it stands for Sexy Unique Restaurant. And that restaurant is stuck in 2011, and I loved every second of it. But the goat cheese balls are like the famous thing they always talk about.
Oh.
And it's just like fried goat cheese, like deep fried goat cheese.
Does it have like a batter on it? Or?
Yeah, it's like deep fried goat cheese, and they were the best thing I ate at all of the things. There was no dip.
Whoa.
No, I just shoved them in there, just ate them. They were great though.
Okay, well that's like a testament to
they were delicious. I just feel like there must be something similar in Toronto. Someone must also have deep fried goat cheese balls in Toronto that I can find.
But I haven't seen them. I feel like if maybe a Canadian thing is that people defer to just like a poutine or a cheese curd or something like
that
as opposed to deep fried. However, I have had at Kukla on Ossington does great. Oh, I'm going to totally, I don't know. It's a Greek dish and it's like feta cheese that's like deep fried.
Oh, that'd be
yummy. It's delicious. A little bit of honey on top.
Ooh, yum.
Everyone's yelling
but
at me.
But anyways, sir, I don't want to say it lived up to my expectations because my expectations were so low. It was just like so average, but the goat cheese balls were delicious. But it was exactly what I expected to be, which was average. And I loved every second of it.
Amazing. Okay, Sarah, what are you watching or reading this week?
I am back on Love is Blind.
Oh, really?
I was off Love is Blind for a few seasons. I think I watched season one and two. I watched season like one and three.
I watched all of season one and then half of season three.
Yeah. Yes. Season three.
There's drama going on right now.
So now it's season like six or something. Like we've jumped way ahead into the future. And I wasn't going to watch it, but then I saw so many TikToks of people talking about like the girl saying she looked like Megan Fox. Yeah. Like, all of these things. So I was like, I need to watch. Ladies, all of the men are so average. So
you know
average.
What? I haven't seen it, but I've seen a bunch of photos and video clips. So I'm just like, it seems very thummy this season.
Yeah.
All the guys are very thummy. Like they look like a thumb.
I said the same thing. I was watching and go, why do they all look like thumbs? And like, it's crazy. Anyways, the rumor on the street is that they've been casting in Toronto because Love is Blind.
Whoa.
Love is Blind is like, they set it in a different city each season, right? Because they want the like relationship to actually work out apparently. So this one's in like South Carolina right now, North Carolina, Charlotte.
Is that somewhere.
Right? A Carolina. And so the next season, allegedly they're being casting in Toronto. I will die and go to heaven if they have a Toronto season just because I feel like we would know people
100%, which would be the best
100%,
part,
which would be hilarious. So anyways, I'm back on Love is Blind. I don't know why I fell off. Maybe just that the season's really good that I'm like really excited about it. No spoilers, I'm only halfway through. I'm like nowhere near the finale.
Do you think after watching a couple of seasons and you're in this one, do you think Love is Blind?
Absolutely not. They all ask what each other.
Yeah, we just talk about the looks right
now. Exactly. And like you can tell, and like the second they're on their honeymoon, you can tell if they're attracted to each other or not. And it's just like, it's so funny. The formula is hilarious. I love this show. And I'm back on it. What about you? What have you been watching?
That's good. Okay, I watched something a lot more wholesome, probably. I'm a big Casey Neistat stan. Listen.
I love Casey
and
Neistat.
He didn't fall off in terms of content quality, but he fell off in terms of like he's been focusing on his family for the last several years. But he produced, and it came out actually a month and a bit ago, but a video he put out called Sisyphus and the Impossible Dream, which is basically, you know, like the old lore of Sisyphus pushing the rock, the boulder up the hill only to have it fall back down and you just have to keep pushing it up. It's a big walnut thing. Anyway, he used that analogy for his sub-3 marathon that he was trying to accomplish for basically, I think it was like the last like 15, 20 years or something like that. Hadn't been able to do it. I don't want to spoil it, but as someone who's also trying to get back into running, and he based a lot of it on running the New York City Marathon several times.
And that's the one you're going to do this year?
Yeah, that's the boulder that I'm pushing up the hill this year. Listen, it's tough for me to cry during watching anything. Shed tears while watching this thing.
You're inspired.
Yeah, so for anyone who's like interested in running, check out that video.
Casey Neistat, if you want to join our Talking Fest Running Fest run club.
He can pace the fast.
I would love if he could pace. That'd be amazing. What are we listening to this week?
Okay, it's springtime, Sarah, and you know what that means. That means big music drops. They've started.
Is that like a thing that happens? Like spring is
for
when
sure
music
because
drops?
People are out here fighting for the song this summer. I'm getting.
They're fighting
for
the top
early,
of your playlist.
Yeah, I'm getting early copies of albums just to do a little testing. People are begging me to be added to the playlist
honestly,
for this year.
The day that you get an early release of an album so that you could potentially
if
add it.
If any
yours.
Independent musicians or labels are listening, please, I will add anything to my playlist. I will sell out that. Just toss it my way so I can accomplish that dream that I have.
And you ride hard for the songs in your playlist, so it's like...
true. Listen, I think that my playlist is a top tier playlist, and if you want to enjoy yourself in the sunshine,
listen
come my way. But Ariana Grande dropped her new album, Eternal Sunshine.
I liked it too.
There are a couple songs I do like when an album kind of tops tails. It's
cohesive.
Like one cohesive
she's good. She's
thing.
Good at that. She's good
very
that.
Good at that while maintaining several bangers throughout the
we
entire
can't be
album.
Friends.
Not my favorite.
Really? I love that song. It's
what's
all over my TikTok for you.
Oh, God,
page,
I'm blinking the end one, but it's the one featuring her Nona.
Oh,
that
was so
song.
Cute. I don't remember. This is the issue. I'll listen to an album and I have no idea what any of the songs are called.
Yeah.
The only reason I know
too.
We can't be friends is because it's we can't be friends. It's like the
oh,
whole.
Oh, wait. Okay. That is a good one. And you know what I thought while listening to that? I was confused. I thought you were
the
talking about
something
else.
The one about Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind that she has the music video for.
Okay. But I didn't see the video yet. That one. Do you know Robin?
Yeah, it sounds like Robin.
It sounds like Robin. It sounds like I was in my car listening to it, and I sang during the chorus. I just sang the dancing on
your own.
Dancing on my own? Dancing one of them. On I just my sang own? That chorus. You know what? Own. Someone's got to do a mashup. They're both great
it
songs.
It probably already exists by the time we're talking about this. It definitely already does. But yeah, I feel like Ariana Grande's back. I like
Ari's back for sure. Ari's back. I don't know how I feel about the relationship that she has and like the SpongeBob guy.
Look,
but
it's that's not my business. Just put out the album. You know what I mean? Than the SpongeBob guy.
Sarah, what about you? What are you listening to this week?
I have been listening nonstop to Training Season by Dua Lipa.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, so like, I watched this whole TikTok about how like Dua Lipa is like on the rise because they like keep pumping her music on TikTok, especially with like the Universal Music being off. That like she's a Warner artist, and they can just like keep pumping her. And I kept hearing it all over the place, and so I finally like added it to my. I have a playlist that I called my current rotation, where I just like sub out songs I'm really liking at the
trying
time.
Trying stuff out.
Yeah, and so I've added, and I was like listening to it on my drive here in the Uber, and like. It's just a banger. It's a banger. And it's
Dua
like.
Dua hits every single time.
Dua is an artist that her music legitimately puts you in like a hype better music immediately. Like it is the perfect pre-party music. It is the perfect start your day, go on a hawk or a walk. It is the perfect workout, whatever. If you need some sort of pump up, like I had low energy coming to the pod today and I needed a little bit of pump up. So I put on Training Season and it put me in a better mood. It's amazing. So like I've been sleeping on Dua Lipa, to be honest. Like I wasn't someone that would listen to like her albums and stuff in the past. Now she's high in the rotation.
Okay, well, like there's a good amount of music to dive back into.
I know. It's like bangers only too, which is so good.
Huge. Sarah, somewhere you went to this week?
This week. Last week. In the past week.
Somewhere you went recently.
Recently. I was in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And if you know me, you know I don't like LA. Or in the sense of like I would never live there. I like New York more.
Yeah.
Accessibility, all of those things. But I do like LA about 30 to 40% more after this most recent trip.
That's high.
And it's all because I stayed on the beach. Staying on the beach was a game changer. I stayed in Santa Monica for the first time. Got to like wake up and go for a run or a long walk every single morning along the water. And like that was my happy place. So if you're someone that also despises Los Angeles, just stay by the water and you'll get happier. You'll be happier.
How long were you there for?
I was only there for 5 days. Well, I was supposed to be there for six.
But good amount of time? Perfect
amount of time. Any more days, I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah.
To be honest, I would have had to like do like a Disney day or like a theme park day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Other than that, though, it was the perfect amount of time to be there. I did everything I wanted to. I went to Malibu for the first time. I'd never been before.
Mm-hmm.
So that was beautiful. And then I got to check in on Naomi, who's thriving, in case anyone's wondering. Go watch her stuff. She's like finally posting again about like the whole move to LA and everything. So it was so weird like being in her apartment though in Los Angeles. Being like, it was just weird because it's like
she
lives
you
there
still
now.
Think like of her as a Toronto friend. Like she's coming back. She should be in a hotel.
Yeah, Like it was weird that it's like this is all of your things. Like you live here now.
Oh yeah.
When like it takes me so long when friends move to a new city to like really get
actually
used
trust
to the idea.
That they're not
to get used to it. But it was so cool seeing her, and yeah, it was a great time.
Would you go back?
Yeah, I'll go back to LA
for a short amount of time.
Yeah, I can't go for more than 5 days though, and I think I would stay in Santa Monica again. It was beautiful. That would be my vibe. What about you? Where somewhere you went?
Okay, speaking of running that I was talking about off the top of the podcast, shout out to my friend Vince. Vince and
shout
I
out Vince.
Hit the Leslie Spit. This is a wild thing. It's 4 years since the pandemic started, which is wild. And I spent so much time running in 2020, and I spent so much time on the Leslie Spit here in Toronto. If you haven't been, technically called Tommy Thompson Park, but it's beautiful on the east side. Someone's got to come over to the east side. It's a bird sanctuary. No dogs are allowed, unfortunately.
It's a bird. Count me the fuck out. A bird sanctuary.
It's always huge. It's like 5 kilometers out to a lighthouse. It's typically me, some like middle-aged men having a midlife crisis on their like $20,000 bicycles and 60-year-old bird watchers. But I have a great time out there. I'm back running again. So I'm training for the marathon, like I said earlier, and it's a good place to go and get a 10K in a very serene environment.
If you're not a bird person though, like I hate birds and get too freaked out that they're gonna like, you know those birds
they
in
do
Toronto
and
that,
it has happened
you?
Frequently okay, on there absolutely. There's one stretch during the summer where they nest in an area where they're like trees that are like tight
and then they dive bomb you, right?
And I have to have a hat on, and then I hold my hands above my head because these birds like dive bomb, and I'm not even like, they don't just freak you out. Like, they fully hit my head.
Your head. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little freaky, but tough.
If you want to train with resilience and with like different objects flying
exactly.
at you, then maybe
some people say like tempo runs, easy runs. Bird, why not throw in a bird attack run?
Yeah, bird attack run. That's so funny. And what about something you did this week?
Okay, well, I'm a man of a few pillars in my life. We got running, we got managing
this
Montserrat
podcast.
Jenkins, this podcast. Haven't mentioned the cottage in a while, but that is moving along.
It's looking sick.
Yeah, okay. Insulation is in. By this time it's up, we got actual walls up, drywalls on there. We're basically picking out paint colors at this point.
And we'll never see Jacob again once this cottage is built.
Probably. I'm just gonna on this podcast, I'll just be like phoning in via Zoom.
I was gonna say he's really pushing for the Zoom records for that purpose. We
have that technology, right?
Yeah,
to just do Zoom
record.
Like to get a guest in there, or maybe me, or who knows, like, right? But we, went up with a few friends, my brother and a few friends, and we actually camped there and, just stayed overnight. It was the first time actually being up there and staying overnight outside for the first little, I guess, since we really bought it and we stayed
that's
out
exciting.
There in an RV.
Oh yeah, you did when you first, that's so exciting.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it and hopefully,
Are you going to use it like summertime? Like, will it be done by like June?
It'll be done by the time this podcast comes out, probably in like 40 days. I know.
Whoa.
I know.
Wow.
Exciting. Yeah. So we're going to have to do a talking fast on the road.
I would love that. I need to try this Weber's place you've been talking about for like a year now.
Okay. I was also super excited. Anyone who knows Weber's who goes up there, cottage country, best smash burger it's kind of a smash burger, but it's like a charcoal grill burger. Amazing place. And I was super excited this week. I called them and I was like, are you guys open? Just making sure, because it was opening weekend. And we went on opening weekend, and it's all teenagers working there. But like, I went in with a big smile on my face and I was just like, hey, are you guys excited to be like open again? They're just like kids with a job.
Yeah. They're like, this is my minimum wage job.
Here's your burger, sir. And I'm like, thank you. But it was a good time. Something you did this week though.
Well, when I was in LA, I did my Vanderpump Rules bar hop and talked about that. But the cool thing was I got to watch cast members of Vanderpump Rules watch the new episode.
Oh, like in their presence?
Yeah. So we went to Schwartz and Sandy's, which is behind the Church of Scientology in a strip mall. That's okay. The lay of the land that we're going into.
Good vibe.
It was hilarious. And so we sit down. I knew Tom Schwartz was going to be there because he always promotes that he goes there on
You're already best Tuesday friends, night. Too.
We're already BFFs. We talked about Toronto. He told me he wants to honeymoon in Toronto one day, which I was like, that's a weird statement, but sure.
What would you do?
Yeah, exactly. And but Tom Sandoval walked in and my jaw hit the floor when I saw Tom Sandoval, just because I didn't know if he was still not really showing his face in public or like what the vibe was. Mm-hmm. He walked in. He was taking selfies with people. My favorite part was he was correcting people on proper selfie form. Like he would take the phone out of their hand, be like, no, and change the angle so
really?
He looked better.
You gotta respect someone who knows their angles.
People are the exact same. He was exactly, and I'm watching him watch the episode. And if you guys know, the episode I'm talking about right now is like Lala yelling at him on the boat. Like it was a crazy episode for me to watch him watch.
How do they react? Like what do they do?
He's mass texting people. Tara's trying to zoom in. Like we're trying to zoom in on his text to see who he's talking to. He's sending novels. I don't know who he's talking to, but he was
the whole time,
the entire time. And his new girlfriend's sitting beside him. So I don't know who he's talking to.
Whoa.
Sending novels. And I literally just could not stop watching him watch himself. He looks so proud of himself when he watches the episode.
Almost as entertaining. Maybe even more so.
I actually had to rewatch the episode because I didn't fully know what happened.
It's
because
like
I was
watching
so busy
something
watching
with live.
Him.
It's with commentary, but live. That's
yes,
huge.
Yes, exactly. It was crazy. And like, I never was sure if they get to see the episodes ahead of time. But with how he was reacting and how like Tom Schwartz would like stop and like look at the TVs to actually pay attention to what's happening.
Surprised?
I think it's their first time watching it when
really?
It goes to air.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
I love Bravo. That makes it so much better. Great job, Andy Cohen. Just the two of us today because we were back with another episode of voicemail. As always, if you want to send us a voicemail question, you can send us one on Instagram at Talking Fast Show. You can email us at talkingfastshow@gmail.com. I also put out calls on Instagram, in Instagram stories, and in the broadcast channel. There's lots of ways for you to get in contact with us if you want some advice. Today was a lot of like just big themes that people wanted to talk about. So we kind of made it like one theme. I would say this episode thesis is just about career and life in your 20s and being a little bit uncertain about things. So we're going to dive into the voicemail questions, Jacob. The first one being, Any advice for maintaining a social life with a 9-to-5 full-time job? Now, I guess we should preface this with, Jacob, when was the last time you had a 9-to-5
job? I had it. You know what? I don't think I've ever had a real 9-to-5 job. I had one that was very close to it. It was 10-to-6, but it also, like, I was working 30 days straight at one point.
Yeah.
Shooting interviews. So it, I don't really have a ton of experience.
I guess more so the question being, how do you maintain a social life with a very busy job? Maybe that's a good way to do it.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it's probably, there's a little crossover with anyone who does have a 9-to-5 job anyway, too, mm-hmm. is that you have to, I think, schedule things in advance. A, to have a little bit of sanity, that you have something to look forward to. I know you're someone who looks forward to scheduling trips and having that on, like, the, like, something on the books a couple of months in advance.
I already got my next one planned.
Yeah. So if you have something like long, say like 3 to 6 months out that you can look forward mm-hmm. to, you know, is coming. And then on the shorter scale, like, do that on a weekly basis too, where you know that you're blocking out time that couldn't be taken over by work priorities, which is sometimes easy to do if you don't have social things in the calendar.
Yeah. I second that. I love my friends that will text me and be like, hey, like, when are you free at the end of this month, like weeks out? Mm-hmm. And those are the friends that are like, I'll go out for dinner with every few months. We'll just do a big catch up. But it's really nice when it's like in the calendar confirmed, because then you're right, something to look forward to. But then also, like, I know how to plan my workload around it. I know, okay, like, if I'm having this dinner on the Thursday, maybe like Wednesday's tonight, I'm going to take for myself at home and just like chill out. I mean, I think it's different depending on where you live, balancing a full-time job and a social life. I think we're living in a city where it's very easy. Mm-hmm. I think it's really easy to find like third places. I think it's a lot easier to find clubs to join, like rec sports, any of those things. One of the best things my friend group ever did was start doing rec sports. So like soccer weekly, volleyball weekly, whatever it might be, because then we had guaranteed friendship time once a week. And sometimes that would turn into going for a drink after or something. But other times it's just like, oh, I know I'm going to see these people at least once a week at soccer on Thursday.
You know what I've done too? And like, this is probably a good example. Like, your book club is a perfect example of that type of thing too.
Monthly.
Like, I remember I did, I don't have it running right now, but like a Survivor, what would you call it? Competition where we all had skin in the game and bets on Survivor. And it's just like, we got together and watched it once a week. Something pretty low key where you're not like dedicating necessarily an entire night to
a lot of funds. Like, it's like example, but yeah, book club's a great example of that. It's like once a month we do a little, it's like, you can tell it's ran by teachers, like the girls that run it. Like, we do like a doodle poll and we figure out what night works the best. And we plan the month in advance to make sure that everyone has a full month. And like, if you can't make it 1 week, that's totally fine. We also share the books. So like, if maybe someone doesn't want to buy the book, like, you can lend it, like, things that are like on the books committed, but it's also like a low commitment in the sense of if you like had to miss it or something for work or whatever, it's not like you spend a lot of money on like concert tickets or a big fancy dinner or something. Yeah.
You know what I also like to do is like kind of stack social engagements with other things that I'm passionate about or like doing or need to do. So for one of them is fitness. So oftentimes I've got a few buddies that I'll go for a run with. Yeah. And it's a great time to both get your activity in for the day or the week or however often you're exercising, but then also just spend the time catching up.
And I think not just run clubs, like ours are great for that, but I also think workout classes are great for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Sweat and Tonic is a place that you can bring a guest once you buy like a certain amount of passes or whatever it might be. So you're right. Then you can kind of like two birds, one stone it a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I will say at its core, to maintain a social life with your full-time work, you have to prioritize it. And it's just the reality. I understand that sometimes you're like so dead and exhausted. Like, trust me, that's me today. Like, sometimes you're so exhausted, but if you prioritize your friendship, like, you'll never regret hanging out with your friends. Like, I think that's the mentality I have is, look, there is sometimes I just cannot make it work and I've had to like cancel after work drinks or plans or whatever it might be, but you will never regret seeing the people in your life that you love and care about. So if you can get yourself to it, usually it'll be worth it and you had a good time.
And the other thing I'll say too is that like something that I fall prey to a lot of the time or fall into a little trap is like, if I'm going to go and see this person, they have an event going on or birthday party, say, I got to go and like, I spend the entire night. I don't really want to spend the entire night, but I'd love to check in. It's like, you just go and just spend 30 minutes,
do a little
catch up. Your obligations are only to yourself. You know what I mean? Like, once your social battery is recharged and or drained, get out of there.
But you just have to make it priority still in order to actually like maintain it. Like, people aren't going to come to you if you're just every night going home and sitting on your couch after work.
Yeah. Sarah, voicemail question number two, which is kind of the flip side of this. How do you deal with exhaustion or burnout when you've gone a little bit too far? Maybe you've extended that social battery and the work battery a little bit too much and you're at the end of your rope.
I know. I feel like we've talked about burnout before on the podcast, but it was probably been a while. I'm still learning every single day. I think the one thing I struggle with, and I'm very aware of it, is like, I operate at a very high level. Like, I know that. And I know people go, how do you do it all, blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's all I've known. So I don't allow myself really to take a step back, because once I take too much of a step back, then I'll never reach that same level of like productivity and like stuff that I do. Mm-hmm. And I'm aware of that. But I even have taken more of a step back in the past year where I say no to more things or carve out that time for myself. And that's the way that I guess I avoid burnout, is being more in tune with myself, my body, my feelings, how I'm feeling, how like, things, if I'm too overwhelmed, if I have too many things, and I don't feel as much guilt if I have to like cancel in the 11th hour or something anymore. If I, that means I'm truly at my wit's end. I don't really get burnt out. I start to have the, because burnout to me is when you've hit like the rock bottom and you can't do anything and you like can't function. We've talked about this a lot. It's like, you almost have to give yourself like, for me, it's like the one day a week that I can just veg out and chill and like not have any social or work responsibilities, and then I'm good for the rest of the week, or even 2 weeks sometimes I can thrive off of, if I have one really good like veg out day, and that allows me to make sure I don't get burnt out, because then otherwise you're just like a hamster in a wheel. So I feel like you have to kind of plan out things for yourself. For me, that's trips are another one, like that I don't get too burnt out with work, because I always have my next trip to look forward to, or my next weekend away or something. So then even when I'm having a really difficult work week, I have something else to look forward to. I understand that's a massive privilege being able to do that, but it doesn't even have to be like you're going away somewhere. Maybe like just take a Friday off, you have an extra long weekend, and you make a little vacation for yourself. I think once you know your burnout levels and like how you get exhausted and what that means to you, you need to plan and like do action items that will set your future self up for more success.
Yeah, for me, burnout, one of the biggest things is kind of recognizing when burnout is happening. Exactly. Cause I think I'm like you, where if I feel like I'm starting to burn out, I don't really recognize that a lot of the time in my head. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, maybe I'll just work harder to be better at the things that I think I need to accomplish right now, which is overall just more draining and is going to, you know, lead you to exhaustion, as well.
I would say to be honest, if I'm being like real, I'm trying to be more like, I was going to say empathetic this year. That's not the word I'm looking for. I'm trying to be more vulnerable. Is that the word I'm looking
vulnerable,
for?
Vulnerable, authentic.
Real with my feelings, like actually talking about them, because I'm really bad at it. I had a moment today where I just started crying today when I was at work.
Are you burnt out currently?
I think so. And I don't think I realized I was. And I think it's because I thought like a trip would like help me. Like I felt like I'd be like a little bit less like exhausted. But then by the last day of the trip, I was starting to like get the twitch to like, I need to check my email. I'm like behind. I could like feel it happening. And then I don't know, just today with like today being an extra exhausting day, like I just feel like I'm really behind. Like I feel out of a groove right now. I feel like I don't really have my shit together like I normally do.
What was the tipping point? Like, is it something, and you don't have to necessarily talk about it, but like, is it something that it's like the straw that broke the camel's back?
There hasn't been one. Yeah. That's like the interesting thing. I think it's just like a bunch of compounded stuff. And I'm not really feeling super like creative recently. I'm not really feeling super like passionate about anything that I'm doing, and that's for me, like that's how I know I'm burnt out. So I'm really just like, I had a little cry today, a little mental breakdown, but I'm just trying to take it like day by day and just allow myself to like, because I always find myself back if I just give myself the space.
Well, I think that's one of the most positive things. It's like, if you are burnt out, don't, I like I just said about myself, I try to fight it a lot of the time, but like that cry, that little cry sometimes is necessary.
Well, I fought it all morning, and then I just started crying at lunch, and I like literally was like, why are you crying? Like I couldn't even tell you why I'm crying, and it's like honest to God. And so I was like, okay, so I like took the afternoon, like chilled a little bit, I had some meetings, like did some work, but I'm like really good at being honest with the people around me when I'm feeling this way, because it happens pretty few and far between. It's like twice a year I get like truly burnt out where I'm like, don't talk to me, I can't do anything. I'm texting Jacob being like, cancel my plans, I can't do any of it. But yeah, I think right now I'm feeling, if not like in full burnout, but I think I'm in the early stages of that feeling. So I'm just going to try the approach of like going with the flow and allowing myself to feel it, and like not put too much pressure on myself to like get back into creating and everything. But it's just it's a weird balance. I'll take a few days and see how it works. I'll talk to my therapist about it and see how it goes. But it's like a, I don't know. It's a weird thing when you're like aware that you're in it right now, because I just don't know how to necessarily get out of it. So that was a good timed question, but
That's a good thing for a therapist as well, because that's the benefit of just recognizing something is like the most important part.
Yeah,
because then you can actually think about it.
And that's the goal. Okay, the next question for voicemail is, just got turned down from a dream job. Advice for finding the confidence to reapply in the future.
That's a tough one.
I changed my mentality about dream jobs about after I got laid off from my first job, and it has drastically helped me, and maybe it'll help somebody when it comes to work.
Wait, what was the dream job?
I don't have one anymore, because my dream would be to never have to work.
You got turned down from that?
No, I mean, sorry. I mean, in the sense of when I lost my job at Yahoo, which at the time I thought was a dream job, I thought I was like on the track to like becoming into what I thought was going to be dream jobs. I stopped putting jobs on pedestals. Like I stopped putting like certain, like I don't, you could ask me today, what's your dream job? I do not have one. I don't. And so I think like I have goals on things I want to do. Going to the Olympics is a goal in work, or maybe one day making a movie is a goal that I have. Like I have goals, but none of those is like my dream job is not to like be the president of some company or whatever.
So what happened? Why is it off the pedestal?
I think once I realized that you can be really great, a perfect fit, do everything right, and it's still a corporation that decides your fate and they can can you the next day, it really changes your point of view. Mm-hmm. Truly. And so I don't chase titles anymore. I don't chase like that, I guess, external recognition that I was just looking for by like having a cool dream job. And so once you kind of take away the word dream job and it's just like a job that you love or really like doing, I actually think it really helps. You're right. Like take off the pedestal. I think it helps people, I don't know, just make a little bit more attainable short-term goals that are strategically placed based on the point of your life that you're currently at.
Yeah.
But I don't have a dream company to work for. I don't have a dream title or job or anything, and that really changed. So that's where if you don't have that like thing on a pedestal, then just reapply. Like what's like, why not?
I would agree with that. Yeah. And I think like as someone who has basically had his own company for the entirety of my career post-university, I've never really had a dream job either that I'm like shooting for a specific mm-hmm. role, but I would agree with you that like probably setting goals that you want to accomplish in your career mm-hmm. as someone in the workforce, whatever that industry might be,
yeah.
is probably a little bit more, not appropriate, but like it's almost even
it feels
a bigger,
more
clear. It's almost even a bigger accomplishment when you reach it, because you're doing it strictly for yourself as opposed to, you know, wanting to attach your name to a certain company or a certain role.
Title.
And yeah,
I think it's more in your control that way too.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. It's just like, how many friends do you have? I know I have a ton who have applied for jobs that they're like, oh, this would be the perfect job for me, and didn't get it for whatever reason. It's not that to say mm-hmm. that they aren't qualified or anything. It might not be, it just might not be the right time. Like someone else applied before them is earlier or further along mm-hmm. in the interview process and was a good fit as well. That doesn't say anything about your skills, right?
No.
And maybe it is about timing. Like this person's question goes back to, you know, how do I get the confidence to reapply? And sometimes that's just, you know, walking your own little path until maybe you meet up with that goal or dream yeah. role again, where you can apply for it and maybe it's the right fit. Then if not, yeah, keep your own personal goals.
And as somebody that has hired people, I would never give someone an interview if I didn't think they could do the job.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you made it to say this is a dream job of yours and you made it to the interview process, whatever, like why wouldn't you apply again? Because it was just like timing, personality fits, like just it, maybe they just needed that type. Like there's so many outside factors that like you could be the perfect candidate and it still isn't you.
It's tough that applying to jobs and like the whole interview process is so tough sometimes because there isn't a lot of transparency of like, oh, mm-hmm. why wasn't I chosen? And it's because easy to take that personally.
For sure. Because sometimes it's just like this person has the skill set up that's a little bit more what we were looking for. We didn't even know we were looking for that. Like it's just, mm-hmm. it's never, it's like literally 98% of the time not personal when
yeah.
it comes to hiring. So I do think though that we should take dream jobs off pedestals, and then that will just help you overall. Ever since I started doing that, I applied for the most unhinged jobs that I was not qualified for. I was getting like fourth round interviews for. And then it took till about the fourth round that they like, maybe we all like, even me, I
like,
go,
wait, you don't have 5 PhDs?
How'd well, you get- no, it'd be more like, oh yeah, like, no, I definitely do not have enough experience me doing which is fine. Or, you yeah. know, the other one was I didn't want to move to Columbus. Like there's different things. But like once that mentality left my brain, I literally would just apply for things and then you never know.
Yeah,
you never
know. If you don't get the job originally, like finding the confidence to reapply is more so finding the confidence in yourself as opposed to finding the confidence exactly. to think you're good enough.
And then also just take it as like, I loved interviewing, loved it. Every time I had the opportunity to do it, I just liked it as a practicing of a skill.
Yeah.
Because interviewing is a skill, right? So apply to more jobs, even if you're not even like actually, it's also really good if you're at a company right now, just like actively, if there's something that piques your interest, apply. It's always good to see what else is out there anywhere. Even if you're in what you currently think is your dream job, it's great for leverage. It's great for networking. It's also great for just practicing your interview skills because, you know, one day they might say, we don't need your services anymore. And you get packed up in a banker's box and then you're going to have to use your interview skills anyway. So I think actively interviewing and applying for anything, you should have that like, why not me mentality.
Oh, that's good advice.
Thanks.
Sarah, voicemail question number 4 today. What to do if you feel uncertain in your job but are scared to switch away from your dream job? This is a good follow-up after what we were just talking about.
So this is what I'm saying. Don't put jobs on a pedestal, dream job. Because this is the thing. Dream job. Dream. Dream job meaning like big, like hopes and dreams. If I gave you all the money in the world right now, would you still do that job? Probably not.
Yeah.
Like that to me, a dream job is like that. Like I would still do it even if like I would still be creating something like me. I would still be creating.
I think I would still do my job.
You might. No, but it's true though. But this is that's because it's like truly like you're like end all right, be all of a dream. Right. But I'm saying like most of these like dream jobs, it's like it's just a question that we're asked from such a young age. What's your dream job is asked from the time you're in grade like, I don't know, 3 and they start making you do like school assignments on it. Mm-hmm. And that changed like 47 times for me. 1 year I wanted to be an actor, 1 year I wanted to be a writer, 1 year I wanted to be like there's all these different things that I wanted to be when I was growing up that were the dream jobs. And then so I think that we have that mentality as we're growing up that there are such things as dream jobs.
Well, especially if you're in it and you're uncertain about your job right now.
It's
like, exactly right. It's like it might have been your dream job like 4 years ago, but now you figured it out.
Exactly.
Don't feel stuck in like the dreams that you had as a kid. Like if for sure. You have to be able to change.
And like it all changes and evolves. I remember when I was in my first week at TMU on Frosh Week, I literally told like the people I'm pretty sure is at the CBC that I would sweep their floors for them. Would I sweep the CBC's floors today? Absolutely not. But it's just like that was at that time. I was so desperate to get a foot in the door and I just wanted it so badly. At that time, like what I'm doing right now would be seen as my dream job to me 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But like now, like you grow and you evolve and all these things change. I think if you're having any sorts of doubts or you're curious about other careers, like I just said before, why not apply for other jobs and see what's out there and go through the interview process? You can learn a lot about a company and a role through an interview process if it's even something you want to do. I'm not saying like quit your job immediately, like maybe like keep your job and like go and look for other things and just out of curiosity. Like I have someone in my life right now that used to work in one industry, switched to tech, and now is looking to get back into the entertainment industry. She's not like uprooting her life and going to quit her job just like because she has this idea that she wants to move back into entertainment. She's just going to like slowly start networking and building out.
Put out those going feelers. Back
feelers and applying for other jobs in the entertainment field in the hopes that maybe she'll find herself back there. So again, though, if you're having questions about what is your quote unquote dream job, we're going to ask that. We're going to stop using the term dream job, but you should just maybe explore other options.
And then go and watch from a few years ago, speaking of the Oscars earlier in this episode, Matthew McConaughey's acceptance speech from what, Dallas Buyers Club, I think, where he says his hero is himself in 10 years. It's a little bit pretentious, but it comes off as a nice meaning.
I like that, though.
You're always chasing yourself and you're not accomplishing something and then you're done as soon as you get there.
You're always chasing something else.
Yeah.
All right, we are back into the midst of voicemail. And the next one, your girl has lots of experience with. I think I have talked on like 17 podcasts about this. And I will talk about it till the day I die. The question is advice for next steps after being laid off.
You've got experience. We've had even, 1 to 2 almost full episodes here on that.
Yeah.
The Alex one.
Oh, yeah.
The Dream Team.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. We talked all about it that episode. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so you need to go back and listen. So I'm not going to retell the story, but essentially when I was 23? I don't know how old I was, 23. I got laid off on a random Wednesday from at the time what I thought was my quote unquote dream job, which is funny that we're talking about that. And that question got brought up a lot. And it was half our team and there's nothing I could have done about it. And it destroyed my soul. Like truly gave me mad trust issues, especially in work, because I thought I was a, after being like, you know, when you're like a straight A student and when you're like always like achieving like educational success like that, when you're in work, you assume it will transfer the same way. Or like me growing up playing hockey, I always used to think like, oh, well, like the best players get the most ice time. Like you assume that's how the world works. It's not. It's like the
corporate. And you think you're in control.
And you're not. You think that once you get the job, you're in control, but you're not. So the next day after drinking heavily, first step, allow yourself to be in your sad girl or boy era. Be in your sorrows. Call your friends. My dad was so sweet. The day I got laid off, he drove a laptop to Toronto to me because I didn't have one. They took my laptop. And so that the next day, I like put up my bootstraps. I pulled my shit together. And I got out of the house was the first step. So I was like, if I sit in my condo for too long, I will go insane. So I got up because it was like a Thursday. So I got up as if I was going to work. And I went to a coffee shop. And I sat there. And I updated, for me working in media, like a portfolio was important. So it depends on what your job is too, right? So for me, I'd like updated my website. I did all that so that if anybody reached out to me after they heard I got laid off or any of that, I was like prepared and current and ready. And that made me feel like I was in my control a little bit more. And everyone's different. Maybe you need more time to like wallow in self-pity, which you absolutely should do. I think that's really important. But I really just like wanted to get to work the next day. And I gave myself the weekend like a normal weekend. Like I just worked Thursday, Friday.
Did you immediately start applying for jobs?
Not applying for jobs. Like, media is a little finicky. It's a little different. I, at the time, had like a bit of a Twitter audience through media. And I was actually like, my boss at CBC was the first one that emailed me. I was drinking at the bar with my colleagues. And I got an email on my phone being like, hey, Sarah, saw the news. So sad. But text me tomorrow, we'll meet next week. And so like then I was like, I need my portfolio ready, I need everything ready. So I got all ready to go, but I did start immediately applying to jobs for full-time work.
It also shows how important your network is, right?
Oh my god, I wouldn't work at CBC if I didn't have that, but I also wouldn't work in general. Like I started freelancing, like as of 2 weeks later I had a full freelance roster because of people that I had worked with or worked in passing with or had seen my work before that were willing to help me out. And that's why I like really just, I never really gave myself a break. The one regret I have is that I didn't like give myself more of a break. Like I kind of wish like I had
time off.
Between? I couldn't afford to though at the time though. Yeah. Like it really depends on your situation. Me speaking now, if that happened, I could afford to take time off properly to do it. But
yeah,
I couldn't probably at the time.
Pretty rare for people to have
for
that
sure
option.
To have that option. And so, and I get it. It's rare. And unless you get like a crazy cool severance, like it's tough. So
if you do, take a trip.
Like. Yeah, like that's what I wish I did. I did get a severance from Yahoo and like I started working right away. So like I ended up like being fine. But I could have maybe like treated myself to like something and I didn't because I was so panicked. And well, I get it. Anxiety comes with it.
I'm sure everyone feels that panic because all of a sudden you have this dream in front of you that you're like, oh, I get up and I have this routine and I go to work. And all of a sudden that's pulled away from you. And it's like, okay, well, how do I both, what do I do with my time? But then also how do I support myself? Which is terrifying.
But that's why like the idea of like one day being truly my own boss is so like I think I like it because I went through that really young. And look, like in media especially, everyone gets laid off. So it's like really common. I'm not like unique to my scenario. Mm-hmm. But like for me, it rocked me. And I'm really glad it happened to me when I was so young because I learned and understood this like idea that people are replaceable, things can happen, like it's not always in your control. But I think I mean, I don't want to speak for you, but at least when you're your own boss, it is kind of in your control. Obviously it ebbs and flows with like the way industries go, but like I feel like when you have to be put in a situation to make money, you'll do it.
Yeah, 100%. I don't have a ton of experience with this because again, I've only really ever had one job that I've not been my own boss. But I've had clients leave me as a talent manager, and that's not an easy thing a lot of the time, especially when they're larger clients and you're like, okay, well, I have this hole to, you know, fill. But, you know,
is that tough? Does that feel like a breakup?
Yeah, it does feel like, you know what? It's hard to define because it doesn't really feel like a breakup because a lot of the time I refer to all of my clients as my kids. Like I was talking
about
family.
Some are more needy than others. Some need you to host a podcast with them.
Because it's a difficult balance. I mean, you know from the other side that it's like, okay, there's a business aspect to it where you have this business relationship that is based on earning money for people.
Yeah.
And then the other side of it too is like you have a very close personal connection with the person or people that you're representing as well. Which is tough in that sense because sometimes I'll be split in my mind where it's like, okay, well, I understand the decision here from a business perspective, but like that doesn't make the personal stuff easier. And I would imagine that like you know, my situation as a talent manager is different than most people's jobs, but that's probably just as relatable for anyone in any type of situation, mm-hmm. because like we said off the top of this question, you don't have any control in whether you're, you know, kept mm-hmm. on or let go a lot of the time. And sometimes it's easy to blur the lines between what might have purely been a business decision and one that's like tough if there's, you know, personal relationships in there where like all of a sudden yeah. you're not spending the same time with people that you work with that you started to consider close friends, right?
The craziest part about the layoffs was when I realized which friends that I thought were my real friends were actually just work friends. Mm. Like whenever you leave any company, whether you're laid off or whether you don't work with someone anymore, it's really interesting once you, because you can't categorize them until after it's over, right? Yeah. So like I have people in my life like Libby, who people know because I talk about Libby on the podcast. And like she's someone that I met at that workplace that we are like real friends after. Like she always says, like, I love that we were like non-workplace friends. Like we survived yeah. past it. But it's funny, like there's people that I talk to every single day there. And I thought those were going to be people that were going to be in my life forever. And that was the part I was sad losing.
Yeah.
And then you almost like mourn it a little bit again after, because you're like, oh my God, I don't actually have a relationship with these people anymore. We used to be so close. But it was just because it's like your high school friends. It's like when it's
very circumstantial.
It's circumstantial. Like, circumstantial. You're at the same place, talking about the same things, working the same hours every day. And
that's, which doesn't mean that that's not like a real friendship.
No, and because, it still was. It's yeah. just that when you both just don't keep it up afterwards.
And it is sad.
It is sad. It's so sad.
Okay, this is a good question, Sarah. How to deal with pressure from family when they ask what's next in terms of careers, relationships, etc. That's a tough one. Oftentimes it comes from like people that
are not your immediate family. Yeah, I was going to be like fringe family is the ones that say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, kind of which stuff. A, if you're that person going to the family reunion or holiday and asking this question to anyone, just
cut it out. Eat
some more mashed potatoes and keep your mouth shut.
I feel like this is kind of, I don't know how old the person is that's asking this, but I assume it just comes with age, no? Like, I mean, I feel like it's just coming with confidence. And the more I've gotten confident in my adulthood and all of that, I feel like I just have the confidence to like, I don't shut it down necessarily, but like dance around stuff a little more, I guess. I don't know.
I think the confidence is 100% right, because I think that the easiest way to go about this is to just shut it down. It's like there's an age gap between you and like a grandparent or something like that that's posing this question to you. But in any situation, like, you are a valuable human with autonomy, and you are the one who's deciding what's next in your life. So it's a really tough question to hear. I understand that. But like at the end of the day, you don't owe anyone.
Just turn into a joke. Like, my sisters are at that point with my grandparents. My grandparents, I try to ask my sisters all the time why they don't have boyfriends. And then they just like turn it into a joke now. They just like laugh it off. Like, it's like, that's kind of the funniest part, is when you can just like flip it. I think the older I've gotten, the more I've realized that a lot of the time when they ask, and they're not doing it out of being annoying, a lot of them are doing it out of love.
Yeah. And they care about you. And that's the way of connecting. And like, they're trying to connect with you.
So
they don't know, like, what's your engagement rate on TikTok right now? Yeah. They're never going to get that question.
Like, so it's, yeah, exactly. So I think just if you can find a common ground to speak about things in your life, or what I do is I just come with updates and then they never ask me anything, because then I'm dictating the conversation.
You enter the holiday with a Sarah Jenkins press release.
Basically, it's like I'm a podcast and I'm just like going off about whatever topic I want to talk about. And I feel like that way I steer the ship a little bit more, and avoid the awkward questions. Granted, I feel
Are there awkward questions that you specifically like try like actively avoid in those conversations?
I mean, I guess a little bit. I mean, I'm not really the culprit of it. I feel more for specifically my family. My sisters get a lot of it more. Right. So I feel like it's like just a shitty stereotype that anyone that's single gets it, mm-hmm. which is unfair.
Relationship, kids.
Oh my God. I've started to get raise. That. I've started to get the kids one.
Are you getting kids?
I respond with, I'm just a baby. And then if they ask when I'm getting married, I go, I don't want to be a child bride. So those are my responses.
That's a good one. It's tough to come back to that.
And then that shuts everyone up pretty quickly. you'll be the first to know. You'll be the first to know. Just like brushing it off a little bit. So I get those ones a little bit. But I feel like I feel worse for my friends and family that are single, because I feel like they ended up getting the brunt of it.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think it's all about connection. So if you can just like meet them where they're at and turn the conversation into something
most
that maybe
the time
they're actually more
love.
Interested in talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's out of love.
Yeah.
This kind of goes with the same vibe of what we've been talking about. How to deal with feeling like you need to have everything figured out in your late 20s/early 30s, or feeling like you are behind. Well, we have both of that represented here at the table. Late 20s, early 30s. Perfect. Do you feel like you have all your shit figured out?
No, and I like it that way. I think honestly, I think that the thing that changed my mind in high school was listening high to a school. Song. Oh God, what is the name of the song?
Of course, it was a song.
It was like a Baz Luhrmann speech that was turned into a song. And anyway, he's just talking about how the most interesting people that he knows don't know what they're doing, even in their 40s or 50s. I think that that is how I want to live my life. And that's how what took a lot of the pressure off mm-hmm. of it. Because I don't think you ever figure it out. And if you do, I think, at least me personally, I would get bored with that, of thinking like, oh, I've reached some set of accomplishments. We're kind of locked in until I die.
That sounds horrifying. Thank you. I'm the exact same way. That's why like the whole idea, like, that's why the idea of dream jobs, all this gets tied in together for me, because the idea of like, what if I hit that at like now? And then I'm like, this is just, and then I hit all my goals, whatever. And then I'm just there forever.
Yeah.
For like 80 more years. I don't know. That's really generous. Maybe 50 more years. Like, you don't know.
I prefer to turn it around. And instead of like at milestone birthdays of like you're 20, you turn 20, mm-hmm. turn 30, et cetera. Instead of looking forward and trying to figure out everything about where you're going, is to look back, take account mm-hmm. of where you're at. Cause like you're still making these big steps of, I don't know, if you're a teenager, you know, like you get your driver's license and then you become mm-hmm. someone who can drive. And for a little while, that's like nervous and maybe you don't own yeah. a car and that kind of stuff. 10 years pass and all of a sudden you look back and you're like, whoa, like I'm just someone who has a car right now, which yeah. was like a dream earlier on as a kid.
Kind of
right?
goes after your Matthew McConaughey idea.
Yeah, though, well, exactly.
It's all wrapped like, into one.
Yeah, I think it's a lot easier sometimes to go back and be like, you are making moves. You are figuring things out.
But you just have to, yeah, you're right. Like you need to look at your own progress, because it's hard in the moment. Example, like I was telling you guys earlier about how I feel burnt out and everything. So like right now it feels difficult to like see like, the things that I'm doing that are the good or the this or that. But then when you look back on like all the things you've like even last year, I felt like last year was a really off bad year for me, but I looked at all the stuff we still accomplished last year yeah. and like, okay, it was still like I still move forward, you know. And the other thing I find I do is when it comes to age, I think it's a little bit different for women. I think women have this like weird expectation about late 20s into early 30s, and I do think it's shifting a lot. I think there's overall less pressure for women to have their shit figured out and be like married or in a relationship or whatever, kids by the time they're 30. So I think that is shifting, which is really wonderful. But I just look, because I have a lot of friends that are older than me in their 30s, and I look to them and I like don't see them as any different than how I am right now. Does that mm-hmm. make sense? Mm-hmm. Like I don't feel an age, like that's, I don't know how else to explain it. Between you and I, as an example, I don't feel the age gap. And so once that to me just says that like everyone's kind of in the same boat, we're all just figuring it out. Like mm-hmm. no one person has more shit figured out necessarily just because they're like a few years older or a few years ahead or this or that.
Or like they've hit different milestones.
Exactly, at different
like,
times.
I know people who have like 2-3 kids who still don't have it figured out, whatever exactly. that means. And it hitting those kind of like societal milestones doesn't help you figure it out.
And I understand where the stress comes from. Like I said earlier, in like the way that education is, like we grew up in a very structured system where you knew where you were going to be. You knew like everyone was on kind of the same level, like what milestones you were supposed to hit every single year, driver's license, all that stuff mm-hmm. including. And then once you either leave high school and choose to go to university or college, you're just like a baby bird like hit out of the nest, and you're like, okay, bye. And then you're expected to then create your own structure on what you believe is a milestone, what you believe is the like having it together, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. My parents don't even have all their shit together, like, you know what I mean? And they're like in their 50s. So I really think that, like you said earlier, being an evolving person is way better than being a stagnant person. And I wouldn't want to be somebody that has all my shit figured out.
And being nimble, because like probably everyone knows that everyone hits like roadblocks out of the mm-hmm. blue. Even if you have it figured out, you feel like you're in a place 100%. Where you're 100% confident about all of your life, how it's set up. Like, who knows?
And you, I'm about to get like really deep here for a second, because I'm in my feels today. So just last week, a colleague that I work with passed away from pancreatic cancer. And it was like, it's things like that that sometimes like shake you remind you. And I've had a lot of like, unfortunately, like things like that in my life, but it's sometimes those moments that shake you to be like, it doesn't fucking matter mm-hmm. like at all. Like the timelines, the this, that, the like the dream job, the like what milestone am I hitting, the oh, this person has their own car and I don't yet, or this person bought a house and I can't. It literally doesn't matter, because one day literally the best person you know can get like a death sentence diagnosis and it changes the perspective of everything and like the goals and accomplishments and all the things that they had done in their life. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I think that the more that you can like, I guess, I don't know, maybe it's just because I've had a humbling experience of that recently. I think those like really ground you and make you realize that like it does not matter. Like anyone can preach to you a million times that like where everyone's on their own path, they're doing their own thing, but it's like the fucking truth. And like, you legitimately do not know what could happen tomorrow. So I really think that like the more you just like duck or water off a duck's back, don't let the timelines or any of that stuff get to you, then I think that's like truly the way to live a more like happy and full life. And the people I know that like truly have their shit together are the people that own that they don't.
Okay, well, Sarah, imposter syndrome, mm-hmm. advice for dealing with it. That's a that's the question, and it's a big one, and it's tough because do you experience it?
All the time. I do. All the time. In different areas and for different reasons. I feel like there's different types of imposter syndrome. I feel it every single day on the internet. Every single day on the internet.
Really? How come?
Because like the entire internet is like a pissing contest about like views and likes and all of this stuff. And it's really hard not to have imposter syndrome on something. Again, when we talk about that's like out of your control, it's really difficult not to.
When no matter what you do, someone is going to tell you that you're wrong.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's like, how do you like overcome that? I don't know. I'm still learning how to do that. I think in my career, I've gotten pretty good at dealing with it now. Like I said, I think the layoff shook me enough that I was figured out that a corporation is just a corporation and like, it doesn't really matter. But I do still sometimes find myself in the like rat race of that though, and like the imposter syndrome of like even like a day like today when it's like I'm having an off day and like I still did all my work, still answered all my emails, all this, but it's like I'm sitting there today thinking, are people going to think I'm not working hard enough because I'm not working at my normal level? Like you're so worried about the perception of what other people are thinking. So yeah, like I think in different areas, I feel it in my day job. I feel it. You can feel it in a relationship. I feel it in friendships sometimes. The imposter syndrome of trying to figure out like if they care about you as much as you care about them, or do they know that, like, you know, there's
when
so many different
when
levels
you feel
of putting
imposter it. Syndrome. Do you feel it for like, if you get locked in on thinking something like a friendship, for example, do you think that you feel that for like days on end, or is that like,
no,
for me, it's like a flash
no,
almost.
It's,
and it's almost spookier then.
And it's spookier. And it's like, do you get the heart racing wave of anxiety.
Heebie-jeebies, yeah.
It's like the quick wave of anxiety. And then it usually, I can talk myself out of it and go away.
How do you
like,
talk yourself out of it?
Logic. I say things out loud. This is something that I've learned in therapy is that when you leave it in your head, that's where it can just like spiral and like bounce around, right? Mm-hmm. For me, the more I like say something out loud, the more ridiculous it sounds. And then it makes myself hear it, right? So then it's like, then like the going around is out here as opposed to in
my
head.
Okay, that's smart. I do writing.
So that's another great way that people do it. I don't like
functions the same way, because you write it out and you look at that paragraph and you're like, well, that sentence is like kind of, I kind of made that up. That's not an actual fact that we know to be a fact.
Exactly. Or it's like so for imposter syndrome, it's like the best thing that's helped me. And so it only comes in flashes now. When it comes to like social media, I feel it, but I think it's just because that's a new space. I mean, I've been doing it for 4 years now, but it's still a new space. Like it feels so foreign to me, but I'm pretty good at, as long as I say the concerns out loud, and even with social media stuff all the time, like if I say it out loud, or like I say it to Nolan, I say it to a friend, I say it to you like verbally, and I hear how ridiculous the thought sounds.
Yeah.
Then my logic can go, oh my God, we're laughing. Why are we?
Do you ever get
way?
In a conversation where, like, say for Nolan, for example, or you and I, but where you ask something and then I or someone else starts responding, and then you just kind of cut it off, and it's just like the question was actually just for you. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
I mean, like, kind of. It's I say more statements, I think, more so
right.
than
okay,
like
yeah, yeah.
Leading it as a question.
You're declaring it for yourself.
Declaring it for myself. It yeah. Or like I'll declare what is happening in my brain, and then it helps. How about you? Do you feel imposter syndrome?
You know what? The other thing that helped. Yes, like I get the heebie-jeebies here and there.
Yeah.
All the time, like probably once or twice a day.
Oh wow!
But it's very quick, and I can talk myself out of it quickly as well. I think one of the things that was actually super helpful, speaking of jobs, this entire episode, one, the only real job I had was like a 9-to-5 shooting celebrity interviews. And
casual.
A lot of them were like D-list and whatnot, but like there were some A-listers and some B-listers. And I think that like that as my first job in wanting to work in entertainment and seeing all of these big, larger than life people that you see on your screens everywhere, figuring out that they're just like, some of them are assholes, some of them are nice,
and they're just,
but
like
they're
normal.
Just regular yeah. people. It's like, it's so, speaking of putting things on pedestals, it's like, yeah. it's so easy to put someone else that you idolize or you want to be like them on some kind of pedestal. Mm-hmm. And that often leads to imposter syndrome. I think a lot of the time we're like, if I'm pitching out to someone, I'd be like, oh, this is a massive brand. And like, we're trying to mm-hmm. lock this thing in. It's like, is this good enough? It's like, there's probably just some other regular person on the other side
that just applied to a job on LinkedIn exactly. and they just work on it. I know.
So much of the world is like regular people.
It's crazy.
When you figure that out, oh my God, it was so good. I'm blanking on her name. TikToker, I think in New York City, and she posted recently, she was just like calling out to all brands to comment on her TikTok. And she was saying basically this, she was saying like, oh, it's so crazy that behind all of these massive brands is just like a 20-year-old PR girly.
Yeah, 100%.
And I forget the name of the makeup brand, but like it was like these three 20-year-old PR girlies who took her out for lunch then. And then everyone else is just commenting like, oh, you see me. And it's like Gatorade or whoever,
exactly.
like Coca-Cola and whatnot.
That's so funny.
It's just, yeah, it's such the Wizard of Oz where you yeah. have this, you're so overwhelmed by the world a lot of the times, but realistically, if you pull back the curtain, it's like everyone and everything is accessible
to
you.
I feel that way with this show a lot of the times when we bring people in who like, I like, to me seemed like bigger than life or larger than life, or like mm-hmm. an artist comes in or something. I feel the same way. Then we're sitting here talking to them and I'm like, oh my God, right. We're all just like normal people.
And I love that because it's just it's humanizing when you idolize someone and then you kind of have an aside conversation, yeah. which I know is like more privileged in that sense that we yeah. can have those conversations. But like, you know that they have, they've got an issue with, you know, they had slept in the morning
yeah,
and
exactly.
they're a little tired as well. It's like, yeah, oh, I relate to that.
I think, yeah, the more you realize like with imposter syndrome, everyone feels it, but everyone's faking it and mm-hmm. everyone's in the same like pretending like they know what's going on.
And if everyone's faking it, why don't you as well?
Exactly. Fake it a little bit till you make it. This has been a great voicemail episode. I hope you took some tangible advice. We went a couple tangents. Mm-hmm. I feel like I word vomited a lot today, but hopefully there's something in there that you can take hold of and say, you know, I read this article, when really it's just you listen to a podcast.
Or if you need anyone to come and fight a relative who's asking you pressuring
yeah,
situations,
we'll do it. I got you. As always, you can submit voicemail questions. We do it every single month. You can go to Talking Fast Show on Instagram or talkingfastshow@gmail.com. We love the tea. So if you want to do like big juicy questions, we get those once in a while.
I'm still looking for some like juicy tea.
I need some
tea.
Follow-ups. We did some follow-ups on stuff. Maybe we do like an anonymous forum
yes.
and people be more open to giving us the tea. Thank you so much as always for listening, and make sure you like, comment, subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and we'll be back here next Wednesday. Bye.
100% from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.